The readings today, don't get out your Bible because they're only a verse each. You can read them when you get home or on the bus, wherever. The first reading is from Colossians 3:23. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters. And then from Thessalonians 4:10-11. But we urge you, beloved, to do so much more and more than that. To aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we directed you. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Growing up, I had a small allowance, and all it would really give me enough money was for comic books and candy, and really that was my world. But when I reached middle school and high school, my wants became bigger. So I began to babysit to earn money. And back in that day, you'd get a dollar an hour. If you had three kids, you'd get $1.25 to babysit. And I longed for items, and mostly it was clothing, because I was pretty sure if I had the right clothing, my life would be perfect. I wanted a pair of dingo boots. Fry made them. They went up to the mid-calf, and they were leather. Oh, my Lord, they were gorgeous. And they were also $150, which was an enormous amount of money. And if when you're babysitting for a dollar an hour, kind of out of range. And my mother, in her wisdom, said, if you will buy one boot, I will buy the other. And so I had to earn that money, and we went down and bought the boots. And I had a pride about those boots like nothing I'd had before, because I really had earned the money, or at least half of it, to buy them. The other kind of way I earned my keep in high school happened at a camp I used to go to. Every summer for a month, my town had a campfire girl camp on the edges of Lake Vera outside of Nevada City. And it was a rustic place. We slept outside. We had canvas tents with wooden platforms to put our things in. And we ate under these little kind of portico covers and picnic tables outside. And for me and many others, it was our best month of a year. And I used to go for a week, and then I would want to go longer. And 2 weeks, sometimes my parents could get the money for, but that was hard in itself. And then it got to the point where my parents really couldn't afford more than 1 week. And I really wanted to go. So I found out that the Campfire Girl Council would have kids come up and do the dishes for the week, and they would be able to go for camp for free. So Jan Garrett, who now lives in Lafayette area and has been here in worship, we both wanted to go to camp, and so we applied for that job. And tell you the truth, we really begged for that job. And we got it, and we had literally no idea what we were getting ourselves into. Washing dishes for about 100 to 150 people 3 times a day is hard work. It's work that had to be done. And while our friends were at the lake swimming or doing activities, we were often washing dishes. And I didn't realize, neither did Jan, that it was a skill that had to be learned. And thank goodness there was an older girl who saw us struggling, who had done this another summer, and told us how to scrape dishes and how to soak them and how you use that finicky Hobart dishwasher so it did your bidding. And I'm going to say, strangely, knowing how to run a Hobart dishwasher has been a skill set that has set me well in 30 years in ministry. Now, I learned what difficult work was like and how much I had taken for granted. How important when you have 100 or 150 people that you need clean plates and cups and utensils and serving dishes at every meal. And I found out that if people scraped plates, it helped us. And I became a little bit of a pushy one. Have you scraped your plates? Now, I would have never thought about doing that kindness for workers unless I was doing it myself. I learned to see those who worked at the camp differently. I saw the skills they carried, how their work was necessary, and the kindness they often showed me and others around there. I got to appreciate the cooks and the actual pot washers and the people who cleaned and took care of the camp. They saw their work as a gift, as a call to care for these girls each summer. Some of them gave their vacation time to do this. They weren't being paid very much, and often we did not say thank you, except once in a while we'd sing this song called Cookies, Cookies, We Thank the Cooks, but it really wasn't much depth. It was more about how we could sing it. And I learned about their kindness to me. And even at that age, I carried a bit of this attitude that Barbara Brown Taylor, in her chapter on the spiritual discipline of physical labor, or she says carrying water, is that when people do menial tasks for a living, that we often assume they're at the bottom of the wage scale and we treat them accordingly. Because we're in a culture that regards physical labor as the lowest of work. When we see people doing it, many times we just kind of don't even notice them. Taylor reminds me that this is a kind of a snobbery, of thinking that manual labor, skilled and unskilled, blue-collar labor, I want to know where that term came from. In the 20s, those that did physical labor wore blue kind of denim shirts. They were tough, they didn't get dirty as often, and those that had the inside office jobs wore the white shirts. So those that do blue-collar work, that worked with their hands, that got dirty, often are treated like less than or ignored. Barbara Brown Taylor reminded me that in Genesis, in creation, in that story, we humans are created out of dust and dirt and divine breath. And Adam means earthling, mud creature. We are a combination of dust and divine breath. Humus means humility is in our very being, and it's our divine commission. First of all, was to till the earth, to do physical work. And that commission came before the fall in the creation story. Good, meaningful work can be a gift. Even the preacher in Ecclesiastes, the passage that Chris read, after despairing about the futility of work, commands the satisfaction of work as one of life's pleasures. There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toils, in their work. It's a holy balance. Work, physical labor, ties us to God. It pleases God. It comes from God and reminds us we didn't do anything special to deserve God's gift. And really, Jesus was a carpenter and his disciples were fisher folk. Those are blue-collar people. They had no cars, no harvesters, no dishwashers, no escalators. Their life was lived close to the earth, and we can assume that the ministry of teaching and preaching and healing was exhausting work. What would it be if we looked on our own work, the physical labor we do, and the physical labors as others as a way to encounter God in the world, a way to meet with the divine, a practice that engages mind and body. Barbara Brown Taylor talks a lot about the transformative work of gardening, of growing food, of the miracle of finding a potato in the midst of dirt and eating it, and reminds one that we come from dirt, and from dirt we will go, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But that's a country story. In an urban land, we don't have much dirt. And if you want a garden, you have to get on a list and wait a long time at a community garden. Taylor reminds us the practice of house cleaning or apartment cleaning or room tidying up can be another spiritual practice. She says, while housework may not offer the same satisfaction as gardening, it remains a reliable path to the rudiments of life. Cleaning a refrigerator and toilets helps you connect to the food cycle at both ends. Making bed reminds us of the life-giving activities do not always require much space. Hanging laundry on the line or maybe from your shower offers you a chance to fly prayer flags disguised as bath towels and underwear. If all of life is holy, then anything that sustains life has holy dimensions to it. The difference between washing windows and resting in God can be a simple decision. Choose the work and it becomes a spiritual practice. Spraying vinegar and water on panes of glass, you baptize the glass. Rubbing away the film and dirt, you can repent of your sins. Polishing glass, you let in the light. No task is too minimal to serve as a path. If you are able to sustain others' lives along with your own, then all the better. No task is too minimal to serve as a path. That's in the front of your bulletin to take home with you. I've been thinking about work days. I grew up in churches where it would be an event. There'd be a big meal. We'd actually get people to come. We've had at least one of them while I've been here. And there's a pride of doing work together. And we're in a time, really, when we have a building like this, we are past the days when you had the luxury of a full-time sexton who cared for this church with love. If it's going to be clean, a lot of that we're going to have to do ourselves. What if we clean and dust and sweep and remember that we all have a role in the body of Christ? Each of our parts make a difference when we work together. Maybe when we clean a window in the back of the church, we remember our baptism, of being cleaned anew by the love of God, of the power and promise of transformation from Jesus even to us. And maybe when we clean up a spill on the wall, we can give thanks to God who created the land on which this building sits, and give thanks to those who physically built this building and gave their money to build this in 1911 when they didn't even know that we were yet to come. And maybe as we clean, we think of the future that we entrust to God and the people who will come after us. Maybe when we clean, we think about the hope and justice and hospitality that will be a part of this place. Maybe when we take on those tasks of cleaning, we do it with love versus resentment. That we're caring for each other, that thinking about whoever comes into this place will feel like they're cared for. It's hospitality, that they are welcomed. They get the very best we have to offer. Maybe those acts could become a spiritual practice. Maybe when you walk down the streets, you see a bit of garbage. It's not in front of your house or your church, and you actually pick it up and throw it away because you are a part of this community. Maybe when you see a box or something on the street or on the sidewalk, you pick it up because you know someone could trip over that. Or that nail could go into someone's tire. You do it because you care about the vulnerable and the surprised. I wonder if those acts could become a spiritual practice to open us up to God in the world. I wonder if we might be able to appreciate the folks that do the tasks we need and really take for granted. For the man that empties my stinky compost garbage can every week. For those who clean up the debris on the sidewalk, who fix the power lines, who put out the food at our grocery stores and check us out. When we, in the city of fabulous food, sit down at a meal, we look for those who bus our tables. For the ones in the back that are cleaning the dishes for the cooks and for the people that come after the restaurant is closed to clean it up for the next day. And then maybe we begin to honor the work that they do and want and long for a wage that they can live off of. For many of you know that the minimum living wage in the United States is $7.25. In California, it's $11. And in San Francisco, it's $15. Because the truth is, you can barely even survive with a living wage of $15 in San Francisco. And you know the history that in the beginning of the Great Depression, there was no minimum wage. Because just like today, there was a huge disparity between the poor and the rich. And the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 established a minimum wage to kind of mitigate this injustice. So people could buy things and survive. They raised it from basically, it was first set at 25 cents an hour and then raised for 40 cents the following year. And what if we're not satisfied with even the living wage now? That $7.25 in most parts of the U.S. is not enough. Do you know there's a group that is working and praying and agitating and advocating for $10.10. What if we also became those agitators and writers and voters who worked on the behalf of everyone's labor so that all are honored? There's an invitation for you to take up a spiritual practice today of cleaning. There's going to be a table of supplies here, and there'll be some downstairs, and I kind of invite you to look at the work that needs to be done and take a piece of it up. See your physical work and feel it as a way that you are doing God's call and maybe hospitality to old people. And to remind ourselves, from dirt we came and were created, and to dirt we go. That maybe in the physical labor of our lives, we remember to draw our attention to God who created us, to God's grace, and to honor those around us who work. Because God's work is never done on us. Thank God for that. Amen.